I
Right.
imagine. Okay. Now, what I was thinking was that rather than start any fresh material, I would use a book we started to look at a few weeks ago. It's called The Bible, The Spirit of Prophecy and the Church. So I'd like to share some passages with you if that's all right. And if you feel that there's something you want to say, then do chip in, you know. But this is chapter 7 of the book, and it's called The Testimony of Jesus, The Spirit of Prophecy. And the verse is Revelation 19, verse 10. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Very well.
Can you give me the verse again?
Yeah,
Sorry.
it's Revelation 19, verse 10.
Verse 10.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, one of the distinguishing characteristics of the remnant people is called by the writer of the Apocalypse the testimony of Jesus Christ. And this is interpreted as the spirit of prophecy. So that would raise another scripture, which would be Revelation 12, verse 17, and chapter 19, verse 10. These two expressions are peculiar to the book of Revelation. They are not found in any other book in the Bible. The actual words, testimony of Jesus, occur but twice in the authorized version of the book of Revelation in the same verse. The term appears, however, in another form, testimony of Jesus, three times in other texts. There is still one other phrase of similar intent. In this instance, it is rendered witness of Jesus, and that's way up in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. The word witness in this case is from the same Greek word rendered testimony in the other texts. Hence, in these forms, the expression is used by the prophet John six times in the last book of the Bible. There are two similar expressions to be found in the writings of the Apostle Paul. They are as follows: testimony of Christ, that's in 1 Corinthians 1:6, and testimony of the Lord in 2 Timothy 1:8. Although the word testimony is used in this relationship eight times altogether, the expression spirit of prophecy is unique in that Revelation 19:10 is the only place in the divine record where the term appears. Seventh-day Adventists accepting the testimony of the apostles believe in the perpetuity of spiritual gifts. That being the case, it has not been difficult for them to understand the divine forecast that the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, would be operative in the remnant church. So, I'll read a bit more for you. They have felt that this means a revival of the spiritual gifts, and that among them would be seen the spirit of prophecy. They understand this expression to mean that particular revelation that comes through those whom the Word of God calls prophets. Through the years, they have believed and taught, and still believe and teach, that this gift has been exercised among them in the life and work of Mrs. E. G. White, who for several decades received revelations and visions from the Lord. They prize very highly the counsel, admonition, and light concerning the future that have come through this agency. Through the years, this counsel was given to the church by oral word and by the written page. This counsel was incorporated in periodical articles, pamphlets, and books, such as Testimonies for the Church and other volumes. And let's see.
I have to, I mean, it's actually, it's like something you need to study more and more, the testimony of Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. The wonderful thing about the testimony of Jesus, it's not just something you find in Revelation. I think you find the testimony of Jesus in the Gospels as well.
Yes. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
We, sometimes we talk about this, but we don't spend time elaborating on it.
Right.
So maybe everybody should know.
Right. It says this claim on the part of the Adventist people has met with opposition from many quarters. This is not difficult to understand, especially since many believe that the necessity for spiritual gifts ceased shortly after apostolic days. And those who do not accept John's interpretation of the testimony of Jesus as the spirit of prophecy naturally endeavour to find other meanings for both these terms. So, let's move on a bit.
Because in here, in Revelation 19, chapter 10, they give a couple of references, and then they give a prophecy. They give Revelation 22, verse 8.
Yeah.
Which we know, which says, now I, John, saw and heard these things. When I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And then it talks about a gift of prophecy in 1 Thessalonians 5, 20, 21. I just want to read it.
Yes, please.
2021. Just give me a minute. Verse 5, verse 20, 21. Talks about, do not despise prophecy, test all things, hold on for what is good. So, that's the testimony of Jesus is good. And as I mean, they give a reference to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20, which then go back all the way back to the Old Testament.
Yes, yeah.
So in a sense, yeah, that's where it started, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20.
If we consider the word testimony in the Bible, it does occur in different places.
Yes.
I've got a couple of examples to cite for you. One is the legal witness for or against another. That's in Deuteronomy 19. Well, that's a sort of well-known kind of witness, isn't it? You have witnesses in courts and that.
Yeah.
And then we got a testimony born concerning another. In this sense, testimony is used frequently in both testaments. One might think of such texts as John 5:39, where we read that the scriptures testify of me, or in John 15, where Jesus speaks of the disciples and says, they also shall bear witness. And we're very fortunate to have the scriptures, because without them, it would just be word of mouth passed down.
Yes.
Right, press on. We've got what is called the divine definition. Says, like, by the way, good evening, Claudette.
Yeah, brother, to join us, yeah.
In view of the fact that in the scriptures there are varied meanings to the word testimony, it would have to be conceded that a correct understanding of the term in any particular place it is used must of necessity be determined by its context. A careful study of the text given in the aforementioned classification will show that this is true. And when we apply this principle to the expression testimony of Jesus, as we find it in the book of Revelation, we must also think of it not only in the light of its context, but also in the light of the definition given to it by the author in the same book. Singularly enough.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. It says, singularly enough, the Lord has removed the meaning of its expression from the realm of doubt and uncertainty. There is no need for anyone to be in any perplexity on the matter whatsoever. The Apostle John records the message given to him, the message he received from his angel, that's Revelation 1:1. This angel is called his. This refers not to John, but to Christ. The revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, and Christ sent and signified it by his angel to John. Further, when John records that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, it is not a definition given by John, it is the word of the angel who revealed it to him. We must remember also that this is part of the revelation of Jesus, as referred to in the first chapter of the Apocalypse. This revelation Christ gave to the angel, but it goes back further still. It is the revelation that God gave to Christ. So this is a divine definition in a special sense. It is from God and from Christ, and Christ the divine Son, through his angel, tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Then, yeah.
Move on a bit. Says, but what about the expression spirit of prophecy? What does this mean? We have already noticed that it's used once in the entire Bible, and that is in Revelation 19:10. Furthermore, we have no exact counterpart of this expression in Holy Scriptures to guide us. There are also other expressions similar in form, such as the spirit of life, the spirit of glory, the spirit of grace, but never do we find the expression spirit of prophecy in any other passage in the sacred scriptures. But the term spirit of prophecy is not, after all, such an isolated expression as one might suppose. Although it occurs only once in Holy Scriptures, it is to be found in ancient Jewish writings and also in a number of books of recent date. Several works where the expression is found are here cited. Now, I'll just give you one example from the book. It says, the term spirit of prophecy, with reference to the prophetic gift, is found in the ancient Jewish writings. The expression occurs in the Targums on the book of Genesis, both the Onkelos and the Jerusalem Targum on Genesis 41:38. They read the same as follows. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this, in whom is the spirit of prophecy from the Lord? So that's one example of use outside of scripture by Jewish authors who, you know, were keen to keep good records, and as were the Essenes, of course. But won't give you any more of those. But as we move on, we got the opportunity to compare two vital passages, so I'll just read a little bit here. Says the Apostle John not only gives us the definition of the term testimony of Jesus, but also reveals in another passage in the Apocalypse something that keys the expression testimony of Jesus to the prophetic gift. You might compare certain expressions in Revelation 19 and 22. In both passages, we read that John falls at the feet of the angel to worship him. That was the one you mentioned, Sister Noelle, wasn't it? In both places, we read the counsel of the angel, "See thou do it not, worship God." In both instances, the angel says, "I am thy fellow servant." But notice how the next expression is rendered in Revelation 19. It is in one form, and in Revelation 22 in another. In Revelation 19:10 we read, "Of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus," and in Revelation 22:9, "Of thy brethren the prophets." In this comparison we have further evidence concerning the testimony of Jesus being connected definitely with the prophetic gift. The angel is referring to those whom he calls John's brethren, but who are they? In one place he said that they are the prophets, in another they are those who have the testimony of Jesus. So we affirm that in the apostle John's thinking, the expression testimony of Jesus is intimately associated with and an integral part of the prophetic gift.
There's some references in Acts of the Apostle, Acts chapter 3 from verse 21. Talk about, repent therefore, be converted, from verse 19, your sin may be blotted out. Now verse 20 said, and that you may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. That'll be the testimony. Whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So the testimony.
Yeah.
For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. So, suppose the spirit, the prophecy, goes around through the prophet about Jesus before we even come to Jesus.
Yeah. Thanks. I'll just read a bit more on that page. It says that we would repeat John's declaration. It seems that in order to prevent any misunderstanding as to the meaning he gives to the expression, the beloved apostle makes the matter unmistakably clear when he gives as the following equivalent statements, "I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." Of course, that's Revelation 19:10. And then he goes on to, "I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets," that's in Revelation 22:9. So here the testimony of Jesus is linked with the work of the prophets of God in a way that surely cannot be misunderstood. The fact, together with others already mentioned, should enable us clearly to understand why, in Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is called the Spirit of Prophecy. Just a little bit more to finish off my presentation this evening, and that is the messages of Mrs. E.G. White. It says, as already mentioned, Seventh-day Adventists have believed through the years that the gift of prophecy has been manifested in their midst. For several decades, Mrs. E. G. White, the messenger of the Lord to the Advent people, gave messages of counsel and warning, which we believe were just as verily from God as were the messages of the prophets in the days of old. It is true that the life of Mrs. White closed in 1915, but it is also true that her work still lives. Her books of counsel are still with us. Near the close of life, she declared, "Whether or not my life is spared, my writings will constantly speak, and their work will go forward as long as time shall last." That comes from the writings and sending out the testimonies to the church. This one sentence more. We can rejoice that the church has the counsel of the prophetic gift for guidance and direction. So I would say amen to that, you know. I must confess, I've not read all of E.G. White's writings. There's so many of them, but I'm greatly impressed with the Conflict of the Ages series, amongst others. Yeah.
There is such a lot. That's like, even testimony to the churches. There's about eight for you, you know?
That, they're very good as well, but there again, there's quite a lot of them. Yeah.
And then to read and retain it also.
Yes, yeah. I just thought that would be interesting, so that's why.
No, but I was just thinking, because there's so many people in the Adventist Church against Mrs. White writing.
Yes, not only overseas, but some in this country as well, I believe.
Yeah, I'm talking about this country more so than overseas.
Yeah.
I'm talking about here, you know, and you know, it's like trying to understand why it's difficult. Because from what I read, I haven't seen anything.
I think probably the reason is that they might take some item out of context. Because there were certain customs which were practiced in her day, which perhaps would not apply to us today. I mean, things like riding bicycles and that sort of thing, which we're quite happy to do, although it's a bit dangerous on the roads these days. Yeah.
Yes, I suppose you're right. I suppose it's just interesting to know how. Well, I suppose we all read something, or we all have different understanding from it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Oh. Thank you, Ilma.